I heard an old preacher one time said, said if you're not happy, then you want to get saved. And I think that's nothing but truth. I like something that Paul wrote from the Old Testament. He said, we say blessed is the man, but the word blessed means happy. Amen. Happy is the man who God has will not impute iniquity. Amen. And I'm so thankful that God has done that. One is grace for us. Amen. That he has not imputed our iniquity unto us, but he has imputed righteousness.
Hallelujah.
He became sin, who knew no sin,
yes,
that we might become the righteous of God without doing one good thing. Just by believing that in us is no good thing.
Yes.
That only in him that he becomes it all for us. He's our wisdom, our knowledge, our sanctification, our redemption, Paul says, is everything for us. I greet you in the precious name of our Lord. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to the book of 1 John chapter 2 and 8 and Revelation 3 and 20. And I greet my fellow brethren in the ministry. And no doubt what we are doing is what you have already heard. We're just rehearsing it back in a way that might be, placing them and so forth. And these scriptures are, by no doubt, are unfamiliar to us all. It's nothing new. And let's pray at the end of this service tonight that we will have a better understanding of what God has done for us in this hour. And to look back, and when you begin to read the messages, be able to pick up what anointing the messenger is under. What class of people is he speaking to? And that way, when you begin to understand that he was not speaking just to the bride. He was speaking to the bride, he was speaking to the foolish virgin, he was speaking to the nominal church, he was speaking to the them that were rejecting the message. You see, his audience was universal. You've got to know what part you play.
Amen.
Who is he speaking to?
Yes.
Otherwise, he can shake your heart as much as he can put your heart to rest. You see? And therefore, I believe the prophet God said that Paul came to drive fear out of the church. Is that right? And I believe that you cannot take a rapture. Where there is fear, there cannot be. Your love is not perfected. Amen. So 1 John 2 and 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. And the book of Revelation 3 and 20. seems like a strange scripture to use for to speak of the light, but it's very appropriate for us tonight, and the Lord will help us to look at it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will sup with him and he with me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of this word and everything tonight. Last night, if I might just background just a little bit quickly, we talked about the starlight. And I want to give it another name. I would say starlight is church light.
Amen.
It's still the church light. It's not the bride light. It is not the bride light. It is still church light. And church light means limited. It means that you could not understand everything clearly. It means that you can only understand a measure. And when we're talking about light, there are many representation of light in the Bible. We say the world is light. We said he is light. We said the church is light. You see, we said the bride is light. He are the light of the world. But the light we are talking about here is the light that is directly reflecting from the sun.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, in the absence of the sun, this is the light that we look to. This becomes our absolute. And so at one moment in time, we are going to see that Revelation 3:14 was our absolute.
Amen.
But Revelation 3:14 does not continue to be our absolute, because someone comes along that becomes, amen, of a greater absolute.
Amen.
Because we are moving from his authority to another authority. Just like Wesley. Wesley was the authority. He was not no longer Luther. Is that right?
Amen.
Revelation 3:14 became the authority, no longer Wesley. Then in the bride age, it becomes Malachi 4.
Amen.
And Malachi 4 surrenders that authority, amen, to the Son of Man.
Amen.
And he becomes the absolute authority. It is not the angel on the earth. It is the angel that descends in Revelation
3. Amen.
Yes. He is the mighty angel.
Amen.
And therefore, we need to understand that the transition Even though it might be the same man, he plays many different roles, he's anointed in many different ways, and he says many different things in the season and time that he's speaking. So on the spotlight, I'm going to say Revelation 3:14. Even though he is the same angel of Revelation 10:1, I mean 10:7, even though he's the seventh angel, is Revelation 3:14, except he does not, under 3:14, he plays specific role. Specific scriptures are fulfilled under 3:14. And under the same seventh angel, but in the scripture of Revelation 10:1, certain scriptures are fulfilled. Certain things are accomplished. That's why even though they might be the same man and carry the same seventh angel ministry, their purpose are different.
Amen.
Their purposes are different. That's why if we don't see the purpose, Brother Graham never identified 3:14 with Revelation 10:1. But he identifies Revelation 10:1 with Revelation 10:7.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
He identifies him with Revelation 10:7. So if you would look carefully, I would say that under 3:14 he has two purposes. One, he is to rebuke and call to repentance. See, and under the rebuke, he is given a commission to do the work of an evangelist. And under that commission to do the work of the evangelist, he's anointed with a Moses anointing. That's why in the early days of many of the scriptures, when Brother Branham is preaching, especially to the fallen church, the backslidden church, to the sinners, to the ministry, he seems to be like a legalist.
Amen.
He
Amen.
Seems to emphasize the do's and the don'ts, the blessings and the yes. support. You see, and the purpose for that is because that's the anointing of the messenger of the age.
Amen.
That's anointing. But we know that a prophet teaching to the covenant people, Abraham's seed, is not what you do, it's what I do.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Accomplish what I will accomplish.
Yes.
I will give you the land, Abraham. Amen. It's not I will give your son, Abraham. Regardless of what Abraham does.
Amen.
Amen. It is a sovereign work of God. See, but he sometimes he speaks in a way doctrinally that seems to be so contrary to what he's speaking to Abraham's seed. Yeah, he says things like, you know, you're dangling over hell. Amen. It's your decision.
Yes.
Amen. He says things like, you know, the devil voted for you, God voted for you, now it's your vote. Seems to place it back to you.
Amen.
Amen. But the you he's talking to is them that are. Amen. Them that are, he's preaching to them to convict them.
Amen.
To magnify their sin.
Amen.
To magnify, amen, their dependency so they can run into Christ.
Yes.
And if you don't understand this phase, even the ministry, we begin to say things like, well, Brother Brandon made mistakes.
Mm.
Well, we agree they weren't really mistakes. He just didn't see everything clearly at one moment.
Amen.
But some things were not mistakes. Some things were just directed to another class.
Amen.
For a certain situation.
Yes.
Amen. And then in the next message, he's directing things to the woman of grace, the bride, the church, the elect.
Amen.
And so it seems to be contradictory, but it's not.
Amen.
It's just the anointing and the class of people he's addressing in that moment of time. So he speaks like Moses sometimes.
Amen.
Sometimes he speaks like Joshua.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes he speaks like Moses. Sometimes he speaks like Elijah.
Yes.
I'm going to give an example so you can understand where I'm going. Sometimes Brother Branham will say things like, you know, you're nothing, they're nothing but Ricky and Rickettas.
Amen.
And then he comes back and he says, God won't like me calling his people Ricky and Rickettas. Then you come back again the next two servants and call them Ricky and Rickettas again.
Yes. Amen.
It's because Brother Branham operated between different anointings.
Yes.
Amen. Under that Elijah anointing, he'll tear up those women.
Amen.
Is that right? He'll tear up those young children.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then the next anointing he comes as Joshua. He comes with the spirit of grace.
Amen.
Amen. God don't like me calling his children. Amen. But then he comes back under that Elijah anointing again.
Yes.
Amen.
He's moving between anointings. Not that he's disobedient.
Amen.
Anointing means you act the way God wants you to act.
Amen. Amen.
So under these anointings, he says many different things. As we go on, We're going to look at some of these things from the starlight, the moonlight, the sunlight, how he speaks on maybe Revelation 10:1 and says so many different things. But according to the man, according to the anointed that's speaking, is absolutely the truth.
Yes.
See? So under the Moses anointed, he is given this commission, this rebuke, 2 Timothy 4, which says, do the work of an evangelist, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We know in 1962, the prophet took that text up and preached a message, present stage of my ministry.
Amen.
And in there, he goes back to the text that was given to him in 1933, to do the work of the evangelist. And now he's showing you that time had come.
Yes.
Where they're no longer enduring sound doctrine.
Yes.
In other words, there's no repenting.
Yes.
Amen. They have moved to alternative ministries.
Right.
Here is a man that exposed the mark of the beast.
Right. Yeah.
Revelation 14 and 9. Gave way to Revelation 17.
Yes.
And 1. Which gave way to Revelation, let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 to 10. Let's take 3 to 10. The harlot church, Revelation 13, which represents the USA and Europe. USA represents the denominational church, the beast that comes up on the earth. Revelation 13 and 11 represents the beast that comes up in the land, in the sea, which represents Europe. So sometimes Brother Brown talk about Europe. He's talking about the same symbol is considered to be Europe, considered to be the denomination of the daughters. The same scripture that talks about Europe is going to talk about our mother harlot. Same scripture that talks about the U.S. is going to talk about the denominational daughter. He brought politics, religion, economics, not Revelation 10:7. Revelation 3:14 did all of that. He showed us how rotten our politics is.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Was able to go back and show you in the season of Revelation 3:14 how Ahab, a type of America, amen, married a Jezebel. Amen. He began to show you the Kennedy, the spirit of Kennedy, and the spirit of his wife, how
amen,
they united with the Roman church because they were Roman Catholics.
Amen.
First Protestant president ever in the United States, just in a time when the spirit of Elijah is in the land.
Yes.
Know that I said the office of Elijah here. Yeah? I said the spirit of Elijah.
Amen.
Is in the land. See, so now all of these scriptures are fulfilled. The beast is revealed by 3:14. The image of the beast, 3:14. The mark of the beast, 3:14. The man of sin, 3:14. The economics, the politics of the U.S., 3:14. Of Europe, 3:14.
Yes.
He showed you the deception before the seas was opened, that the danger was not communism.
Amen.
He said, don't fear communism, fear Romanism.
Amen.
What is he doing? He's showing the church as a whole, amen, what to repent for.
Yes.
What to move away from.
Yes.
And he's asking the church to change within itself.
Amen.
Amen. To reform itself.
Amen.
Because he has given them space to repent.
Amen.
So between Revelation 3:14 and Revelation 10:7 must be fulfilled. Revelation 2:21. I give them space to repent.
Amen.
Now it's significant to pick up this message, present stage of his ministry, because in there it says they have heaped up to themselves teachers. And Brother Branham's ministry begin to go downhill.
Yes.
Letters begin to become small. Name, popularity begin to become small.
Yes, amen.
Why was that? It was because of this. If you were living in that day and you had men like A.A. Allen,
yes,
Jack Cole, Osborne, and some of these great men that were out there. Now, when you look at these men, you might say, well, there was nothing, you know. They were great men.
Amen.
With great ministries.
Right.
If you ever saw Jack Cole operation, I saw him one time. He took a man from a cot that was an invalid, lifted him up, put his knee behind his back, pulled him back and said, walk in the name of the Lord. He would walk up there with crutches. He would take them and he would break them. Pray for the man and tell him to walk, and the man would walk off the scene. I see A. Allen pray for a man one time with his feet that short, and right while he's praying, you see the man's foot growing.
Amen. Right.
These people had divine healing ministries.
Yes.
Tremendous ministries. And the people were rather go to them for their healing than to come to the Branham's meetings. Yes. Because they didn't have to hear about their short pants and their short hair and their makeup and anything else.
Right.
Amen. They were getting, they were going to get their results and they didn't have to get a whipping.
Amen.
They can go and get their healing and go back and live the way they wanted.
Amen.
But not under Revelation 3:14 meetings. See, not under Revelation 3:14. So there was now, they were now moving. Why were they moving? Because of the healing? No. They were moving because it was moving into that conscious realm.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And now they had smeared their conscience with a hot iron. Amen. And they would rather go to these men than to come to the Revelation 3:14. And so now the time had come. And when the time had come, he had given them space to repent. Now we find denominational time runs out, and time shall be no more. The prophet interprets that in Revelation 10. He said, what is it? He said, denominational time has run
Amen.
Out.
Amen.
Well, if denominational time has run out, it means church age time has run out.
Amen.
That means yes. seventh angel yes. time has run out.
Amen.
See, church age messengers have run out.
Amen.
It is coming to an end. 3:14 is coming to an end. And Revelation 10:7 is coming on the scene.
Amen.
Who is it? But before 10:7 comes on the scene, amen, we have to fulfill Revelation 5 and 2.
Yes, amen.
Revelation 5 and 2 is a strong angel standing. He cannot go back because the church age is coming to an end. He cannot go forward. You need seals to be open.
Amen.
To go on.
Yes.
And the book is still up there. So now he's come to the end. 2 Timothy tells us he comes to an end. They said, Brother Branham, you're washed up. He said, no, I'm washed in by the grace of God.
Amen.
See, he's looking for a Joshua commission.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. To arrest the bride in Amen. The world. To Amen. Positionally place the bride. And he cannot do that until the book becomes open.
Amen.
He's looking for change in his ministry. Now let me say this, and I pray that you forgive me if I'm in error. Brother Branham did not understand fully Malachi 4 commission.
Amen. Yes, amen.
He did not understand it. He himself quoted it many times in yes. the early days.
Yes.
But in 1962 now, God has spoken with original seed.
Yes.
He's coming with a tremendous message.
Amen.
He's really going to show you, trying to show you now really what the real core of his ministry is supposed to be.
Amen.
It's supposed to be the spoken word.
Amen.
God spoken. Yes. Genesis spoken.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
That was what his real ministry was.
Amen.
If I might say this, Paul's ministry to be a church age messenger was a permissive will.
Amen.
Paul was not called to be a church age messenger. Paul was called to preach to the church, the engaged church, the espoused church.
Yes.
But she, amen, left her first love.
Yes,
and
amen.
So he had to move from bringing her to perfection, which he wanted to, to just now bring in church age, a church age principle of how the enemy, grievous wolves, shall enter in.
Yes.
You see, then he began his gospel turned into prophecy. So in saying that, let me say this. Many a times we hear people quote Brother Branham says that I preach what Paul preached.
Right. Amen.
That's true to one point.
Yes.
Brother Branham preached what Paul preached. Yes.
Right.
But Paul did not preach adoption.
Amen.
Paul never manifested Mark 11:23.
Amen.
Paul never did the greater yes. works. Paul right. was not adopted.
That's
Paul
right.
never came back to his rightful position.
Amen.
He never did. So Brother Branham did preach what Paul preached, and he preached what Paul wrote.
Amen.
Amen.
Everything that Paul wrote, he didn't preach.
Right.
Listen very carefully. Everything that Paul preached, expressed, does not mean it was everything that Paul knew.
Yes.
Some of the things that Paul knew, he did not preach it, but he wrote it.
Amen.
Yes.
Like who is this Melchizedek? He wrote it. He said, I have many things to say unto you, but seeing that you can't receive it. See, he wants to say it. Many things to say. Amen. Many things to preach, but he can't do it. So what did he do? He wrote it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Did not back himself, write the vision for the vision is for a point of time.
Amen.
But at the end, it shall what?
Amen.
Speak.
Amen.
It will speak. So Brother Brennan did both things. He preached what Paul preached, and he preached what Paul wrote.
Amen.
But Paul did not preach himself.
That's right. Amen.
Even though Paul documented adoption, he documented the rapture, the change of the body, the phase of the short voice and trump. He wrote all of that, but he did not preach it.
Amen.
And they did not understand it, even though he wrote it to the Thessalonians to come for them, it became a prophecy for the end time.
Yes, amen.
That was about it. There are two classes within the message. One wants to tell you the doctrine of restoration means you cannot have more than you started with. And you'll see how it comes into the spotlight, because that's some part of restoration, but it's not all of restoration. You see, in one way, you have to restore the woman back before the man can come for her.
Amen.
That's a restoration. But full restoration is Adam, Eve, and Eden.
Amen.
That did not happen in the days of Paul.
No.
Amen. Our true restoration must go back to Eden and beyond.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So Malachi 4 restoration must be in two folds.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
He must restore the woman and yes. He must introduce the woman to the man.
Amen.
Or as we say, introduce the man to the woman. However you want to put it, main thing is that the world will see the word.
Amen.
And the world will recognize the word. But she must realize she is word first.
Amen.
So there are two classes. One is called the restoration class. They want you to believe that we preach, but we can only go back to what Paul preached. And that's partly right. Then the restoration plus part. And they are partly right too. See, they both have truth. Why can't the two be true? There's truths in both of them. The truth of it is that Paul preached to the true church that had not fallen. That's true. And Paul wrote what he could not preach to them because they were not ready.
Amen.
He wrote. And that writing comes in the end time when the prophet preached what Paul preached, and he will also preach what Paul wrote that Paul did not.
Amen.
So in truth and in fact, yes, Paul had it all. But Paul was not able to express it all.
Yes.
Paul was not son of man.
Amen.
Paul was not a super sign.
That's right.
God and man did not become one in Paul.
Amen.
Amen. That was not the son of man.
Thank you, Lord.
God, Paul was not God in the form of a prophet. But this day.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. This day, brother. Amen. If you're looking for the greater messenger, you're looking for God and man becoming one. That was not a super sign.
Amen.
God was not a super sign.
Amen.
Paul was not a super sign. Amen. But this man became a super sign.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Paul did not act like Adam, but this man acted like Adam.
Amen.
Yes,
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Paul longed to look into the
blessed be your name, O God.
Paul longed, amen, to see the fulfillment of the bride.
Amen.
But he couldn't see it in his day. All he could see was that she would fall away. And all we could see is that we will not fall away, but amen. We will come.
Amen. Amen.
We are not looking at a church going into error. We are looking at a church coming out of error.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Paul looked forward to a wedding and a marriage and a union. We are in the age of the union.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen. I'm magnifying, Brother Branham, I'm magnifying the office,
amen,
the ministry, and what God purposed in the end time.
Amen.
The latter is greater than the former, regardless if you like it.
Amen. Yes.
That's the scripture.
Amen.
Amen. The glory of the latter is greater than the glory of the former.
Amen.
So in doing this, we need to understand what is restoration, because this is the church. Under the church on 314, there is no restoration.
Amen.
He's asking the church to change, and they will not. Now he comes at the end and they will not change. What must he do? He's going to call out, not church. He's going to call out elect.
Amen.
The church themselves will not change. Their heads will not change. Their leaders will not change.
Amen.
And Brother Branham is using a bunch of church leaders that met him in Chicago at a ministerial conference.
Amen.
And he's using, even though it happened many years ago, he's coming in 1962 and opening his seats to bring it back to your memory.
Amen.
He said, they said they were coming down there to be baptized with their congregation. He said, not one of them came.
Amen.
And the prophet is going to quote, you see, I give them space to repent.
Amen.
So now, after the space to repent, they will not come. Now he's going to call out the elect. And to do that, he must open up a dispensation.
Yes. Amen.
That's why Brother Branham only sent them back to their church after 9 and said, go back to their church. Amen. Eat a half a loaf. Amen. Be a light in your church. Be salty. Do this. Do that. But now you'll never send them back, because now they are accursed.
Amen.
Now the light is going to be removed. You cannot say the Revelation 3:14 light continues, because if you do, they still have hope.
Yes.
3:14 must come to an end.
Yes. Amen.
Because the light is going to be removed.
Amen.
The candlestick is going to be removed from Laodicea, which is going to torture darkness.
Yes. Amen.
To do that, 3:14 must come to an end. Because 3:14 cannot operate in a bride age.
Amen.
You cannot have a church age messenger talking to a bride.
No.
So like Paul, who stood in the apostolic age when there was no church age, talking to the church that is not fallen, all of a sudden now he has to address a church that will fall.
Amen.
Have fallen.
Yes.
Now Brother Branham, who once dealt with a church, amen, that was fallen, asking her to reform, and now he's calling out the church, bringing her back to a place away from her fallen state. Paul lived in that junction.
Amen.
In the perfect church that was untouched. When I say perfect, I mean untouched. And the church that became touched. Why wouldn't the messenger in the end time live in that junction also? The same man.
Amen.
He dealt with a church that was not reformed, and now he's dealing with a church that was called out.
Yes.
Now the elect, the virtuous.
Amen. Amen.
The sinless, the justified.
Hallelujah.
When did she become justified, really, brother? Did she become justified when she came out? No, she was always justified. She was, he was just waiting for her to come into a position of headship.
Amen.
Headship under the right anointing, in the right place. And once the church had this position closed, brother, she was a justified
woman. Amen.
He said, prove it to me. I am going to do it now. Let's go to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3 and 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Now I want to show you that the law for us on this side of the Testament represents denominational law, which is seven church ages. We were kept under denominational law. And Brother Branham quotes it many different things, denominational husband, old husband, you know, different things. But it all relates human government outside of God. So we're kept under the perfect will of God. He said, therefore, faith came, we were kept up under the law, shut up unto the faith which should be revealed. Now here is a faith that should be revealed, isn't that right? Now who revealed the faith to us? Who really rightly divided law and grace? It was Paul.
Amen.
Paul is the one that rightly divided law and grace. Paul is the one that established the church on grace. It was left to Peter, he would have been sweared to the elders of Israel and to the church in Jerusalem, and they would have mixed law and grace. Isn't that true?
Amen.
And if you mix law and grace, you're nothing but a harlot. Amen. You're either under Christ or you're under Moses. You can't be under Moses and Christ at the same time. Is that true? And one of them says, what is denomination? He said in the message, the seal book, he said denomination rises up itself. In other words, it magnifies itself. That's the word he used. He said, rises up and magnifies itself. And what did Moses do? Moses magnified himself. Moses is a type of the law. Moses is a type of pride. Moses is a type, because that's what the law comes to do, break of the pride.
Yes.
The law was given to break the pride of man, to show him that the law is the righteousness of God and you can never attain to it.
Amen.
No man has ever kept the law.
Amen.
So Moses is a type of law. And you will get this in the message that is in you also. Brother Bram said Moses is a type of the law. And the law, Moses magnified himself. And the nomination magnified themselves.
Amen.
See, and so you cannot have denominational law and Christ at the same time.
Yes.
You cannot be under two husbands.
Amen.
One has to be there.
Yes.
Amen. One has to pass away that one might come.
Amen.
And take its position and place. Otherwise, you're living under a dual covenant.
Amen.
Just like a marriage covenant, you'll have two husbands.
Yeah.
One has to die. And he's saying here now, he said, amen, the true faith was shut up. They were kept under the law and they were shut up. So the true faith of the church was shut up, amen, for seven church ages. But it was promised in the time of Malachi 4 that the faith was to be restored.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Which would afterward be revealed. Anytime you have a revealing, you must have a prophet on the scene.
Amen.
So I am going to draw right here that the true church must be established back under the faith. That's what it says here. It said, but before faith came, we were shut up under the law. Shut up unto the faith which should be afterwards be revealed. And anytime you're talking about a revealing, you're talking about a prophet. You're talking about Malachi 4.
Amen.
The faith that it brings, the faith that comes to the church to establish the church in the faith is Malachi 4. If it's going to be revealed, it must happen by a prophet.
Amen.
You say, what about Revelation 10:7? There is also a breach between Revelation 10:7 and Malachi 4.
Amen.
Amen.
It just does not happen. Before Malachi 4 can establish your heart back into the world, it must be unsealed.
Amen.
In other words, he must unseal it, and Malachi 4 don't break no seal.
Nope.
It's the seventh angel that reveals
yes.
the seals.
Amen.
Amen. He preaches the seal. It's broken heaven. There's three things. The seal is broken heaven.
Yes.
The Lamb breaks the seal.
Amen.
Agreed. Then page 111 of the seal book, he said, and he sends it down to the angel on the earth.
Amen.
Two. Then the angel of the earth brings it to the people.
Amen.
True. Is that right?
Amen.
So then the revealing of the seals and the opening of the seals are two different things.
Yes.
Amen.
The opening of the seals happened there, and the revealing happened here.
Amen.
And if it's revealing here, it must have a prophet in the land.
Amen.
So Revelation 10:7 is also, like Revelation 3:14, prophet. But even though he's prophet, he's only doing the work of the evangelist here.
Yes.
He's not in the office of prophet.
Yes, amen.
Even though he's Revelation 10:7, he is prophet because evangelistic commission is finished and he stands there as a prophet.
Amen.
No evangelistic commission,
amen.
That's ended.
Right.
Prophet, a divine interpreter of the word.
Amen.
Amen. So, in other words, the message cannot come down under the evangelistical commission. The evangelistical commission was over to come down to a fully fledged prophet.
Amen.
The office of prophet.
Amen.
The office of a prophet.
Amen.
Revelation 10:7 stands as the office of a prophet.
Amen.
That's why he can take the symbols. That's why he can tie the scriptures together.
Amen.
That's why he can say, I'm standing here. It's the greatest thing that ever happened. Amen. The great supernatural happened in that room.
Amen.
He said, what is the supernatural? He said, when the mind of God comes in, when the mind of
yes.
Christ,
amen.
That's the supernatural. Amen. When the mind comes to a prophet.
Amen.
What's the transition between the two? Revelation 10:7, his purpose is to call out.
Amen.
His purpose is to call out. And what he does, even though all of this was preached before,
yes.
as a warning.
Amen.
So so that they might repent. And they will not. Now, it takes these first six seals.
Yes.
And when he finishes with the first six seal, he uncovers the mystery.
Amen.
Of iniquity.
Right. Amen.
He uncovers the Antichrist, even though he taught it. Where the devil is hiding. But now he can go all the way back to Genesis.
Amen.
Which he had done before.
Yes.
And tie it back with the only book
yes.
that never could have been understood.
Amen.
Because there is a prophet in the land now.
Amen.
Do you know that the White Horse Rider was interpreted the way we believe it by the Seventh-day Adventists?
Yes.
Do you know 666 is interpreted by the Seventh-day Adventists the way we interpret it?
Amen.
The way the prophet did it.
Yes.
In other words, the prophet, do you know that Luther called the Catholic Church the Antichrist system, the harlot? Do you know that? If you read Luther's writing,
yes.
There were many people that was right on the mark, on the money, but Brother Branham told us it's not the man, he can come and say many good and true things.
Yes.
But if it's not the season and if it's not the right man, then it's yes. no good.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So many of the things that was revealed by to God through the prophet, he was the right man at the right time in the right season, and it produced the right kind of
yes.
results, which is a bride.
Amen.
Many people talk many of the things about the Antichrist the way we believe it.
Yes.
Do you know that?
That's right, man.
It is the truth. So, the first six seal reveal, when the first six seal symbolism is revealed, the symbol
yes.
is revealed, we begin to see the Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity. So we saw the system and we saw the spirit in the system.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
We saw the system, we saw the spirit of the system. And Noah, the last words in the first scene is come out of her.
Yes.
The last words come out of her.
Amen.
So now we have the purpose of come out of her. Come out of her does not come from Malachi 4 and 5. Amen. Come out of her comes from Revelation 10:7.
Yes. Amen.
He reveals the mystery
yes.
of iniquity and the mystery. Now something else Revelation 10:7 does.
Yes.
Revelation 10:7 reveals the mystery of redemption.
Amen.
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 The first six seal, under the first six seal, lies the mystery of redemption.
Yes.
So under the first six seal, the seventh angel can tell you.
Amen.
How you fell.
Yes.
How the fall came.
Yes.
Who permitted the fall? Why he permitted the fall?
Yes.
He can tell you who is the elect, who will be saved. He'll tell you the three classes of people in the book of life, the different classes in the book of life.
Amen.
You don't need Malachi 4 for that. You don't need Son of Man for that. Because the mystery of redemption has been revealed.
Amen.
Quote. Souls in prison. Brother Branham says,
yes.
The sixth seal finishes the mystery of redemption.
Amen.
Before yes. the seventh is open.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The first six seal finishes the mystery of redemption. In other words, the seventh angel reveals the whole thing.
Amen.
In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be.
Glory.
What mystery? The mystery of redemption.
Amen.
But there is more mystery than redemption.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. There's mystery that the seventh angel knew nothing about.
Yes. Amen.
He knew nothing about seven thunders.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Seventh angel knew nothing. He probed at it.
Yes.
In the seal book, he said, oh, the seven seals and seven thunders are two different things.
Yes.
He said, the seven angels hold the seven thunders. He said, no, these seven thunders are not even written in the book.
Amen.
He said, these seven seals, these seven thunders are seven other seals on the backside of.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Now, if the preachers try to run all of those and make it work, guess what? Somebody's going to be bald.
Yes.
The key is in looking at who is saying these statements.
Right.
And in the time that he's saying it.
Amen.
Because in 1965 now, watch very carefully. Spiritual food in due season.
Yes.
He said, I always thought that it was something that was not written in the, that was something that was not written in the book. He said, but I have come to find out it could not be that way. Now, I want to ask you, brethren, who is the I that come to find out it wasn't?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. It had to be this man.
Amen.
Because Malachi 4 must know before he can teach you.
Amen.
And God has to teach Malachi 4 so he can teach you.
Amen.
Amen. Establishes back the faith.
Amen.
Establishes back the faith. Can we look at this one more time? But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you mean afterwards be revealed?
Yes.
Even when the Lamb came, even when the Lamb died, even when the baptism of the Holy Ghost came on the early church, really and truly they did not understand the faith.
Yes.
The faith was never clearly understood until Paul came on the scene.
Yes. Amen.
When Paul came on the scene, then Paul can rightly divide what the faith is.
Amen.
That is why I say to you that Malachi 4 is identified with the faith that was shut up.
Yes.
And that was to be revealed. So I am going to put under Malachi 4 Galatians.
Yes. Amen.
3 and 22. Is it? 33. I am going to say that it is Luke 18 and 8.
Mm.
When the Son of Man cometh,
yes,
shall he find faith?
Amen.
That is the faith that is to be restored.
Amen. Come
the
now.
Son
Amen.
Of Man faith.
Amen.
This is moonlight. This is sunlight. We are dealing here with the church. Malachi 4 has established the faith that was in the early church. He is to restore that faith. If I might just give you a couple of scriptures here and maybe show you the breach between these ages. I want to show you that Revelation 10:1, when it says things like the seven angel finishes the mystery. Seven angel reveals all the mystery. Mm. You've got to be careful, because then I can ask you, did he reveal the mystery of the millennium? Did he reveal the mystery? Will children be born or not be born? But I don't know. But he is supposed to reveal all the mystery. All the mystery pertaining to redemption. That is the promise, that all the mystery pertaining to redemption. He said the seventh angel reveals all the mystery. Watch very carefully now. I'm going to ask you then. Does the seventh seal unfold to the ceaseless eternity? Yes, it does, right? The seventh seal unfolds to the ceaseless eternity. You're going to be living up the revelation of Jesus Christ to the ceaseless eternity. That's a proper statement. Do you mean the seventh angel will have to be living on to reveal it?
No. No.
No, so the prophet statements must be taken back to scripture and line up with the rest of redemption quotes. Like for instance, in Moses Melchizedek, he says, in your theophany you know all things.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Watch very carefully. In your theophany you know all things. Brother Branham entered his theophany in the vision.
Amen.
But not really a vision. He said he tell you he knew what vision is. This wasn't a vision.
That's right.
Like Paul, he left his body. He went over in paradise.
Yes.
Is that right? He saw his body lying there.
Amen.
He was like a young man back again.
Yes.
He went over there, he saw a woman who was over 90 years old. He
yes.
didn't know who she was. He didn't know where Jesus was. He didn't know the church had to be judged.
Yes.
If in your theophany you know all things, that means when Luther died, he entered his theophany. Luther would have known what the seven seals were. But it says, no man in heaven or
yes.
earth or under the earth
yes.
knew.
Amen.
What do you mean you know all things when you're in your theophany? You need all things pertaining to you and the word for your day.
Amen.
In the book of Psalms says, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. We are only promised to know the promise for your day.
Amen.
If you know all things, you are omniscient.
That's right.
And that makes you God. And there's only one omniscient one, the prophet said, so you're contrary to force right there too.
Yes.
You see, you've got to take him back when he makes statements back into scripture, back into the rest of his quotes.
Amen. Amen.
That would mean that everybody who was in their theophany would have known about the seals, about the seventh seal, but they don't know. That means coming up, Paul died and went into his theophany. But Paul died and Paul entered his theophany. Then why does Paul have to be judged? Abraham said, I preach what Paul preached, you see, showing that we don't know all things, but we did know the promise that was for us today. We can't miss it because we are the Word.
Amen.
So theophany has many meanings, not just a body, but it also means identification and identity, your Word identity, your Word position. I say all of that to say this, that seventh angel reveals all the mystery, yes, all the mystery pertaining to redemption.
Yes.
So the first sixth seal, when it reveals the Antichrist and the mystery of iniquity, but it also reveals the mystery of redemption. There's nothing you want to know about redemption that will not be revealed. That's the first six seals. The mystery of it. That's really what Paul knew, the mystery of redemption. But the seventh seal, it's not dealing with the mystery of redemption.
No.
The seventh seal is dealing with the Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen.
And the Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
I'd like to draw it like this if you don't mind.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
The early church was under the Holy Spirit. Then there are seven church ages. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The first age lost truth. The second age lost truth. The third age lost truth. The fourth age lost truth. The fifth age reformed. The sixth age reformed. The seventh age reformed. My. There are four losses. 1, 2, 3, 4. Then there's Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. But we are not restored. It will take the opening of the first six seals.
Amen.
When the first six seals are open and ties the iniquity and the mystery of iniquity, closes off the church age, and now the prophet can say, come out of
her. Amen.
And so the first six seal, when it's revealed, you see where the devil is hiding, you pop out. Yes. Now you're back under the Holy Spirit like you were here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Is that right? But that's the first six calls you out. Then the seventh seal takes you up into the headstone.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
See, so the first six seal is a specific work.
Yes.
Two things happen under that six seal. The opening of the seals reveals the Antichrist in every way. You know a Jezebel religion anytime you see it.
Yes.
You know a Nicolaitan spirit. You know a Balaam spirit.
Yes.
You know a Cain spirit. You know a Dagon spirit. You know a Korah spirit.
Yes.
And no spirit can hide.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Amen. The devil becomes merciless. For that?
Amen.
Amen. You're called out.
Amen.
And when you're called out now, the mystery of redemption is made known to you.
Amen.
The mystery of redemption is revealed. Notice what I'm saying. The mystery of redemption is revealed. After it is revealed, you have teaching. You can't teach what is not revealed.
Right.
So under the first six seal, there is a teaching ministry, and that ministry is reserved for Malachi 4.
Amen.
And that is called the former rain.
Yes.
You said, Brother Tony, but I thought he was teaching way back here. He was. He was, but it was not in the office of Malachi 4.
Yes.
If it was teaching, he was establishing people that was in the system. You don't teach people that's under somebody else's headship.
Amen.
You teach your own children.
Amen.
Under your headship.
Amen.
And therefore, now that he has called you out, He can turn your hearts back.
Amen.
Because you come out of the system doesn't mean your heart is turned back.
No.
Coming out, there's only one thing. It prepares you now to sit under the ministry so they can turn your heart.
Yes. Amen.
Faith coming by hearing.
Amen.
Hearing by the word of the Lord.
Amen.
It means there must be a teaching. And that's the former rain teaching.
Yes.
The former rain, which is called the teaching rain.
Yes.
That is done under Malachi 4. He said, Brother Tony, what about the teaching that he did before this? All of this. Still the same teaching? Because it's going to be confirmed under here. Except here now, there are things that he did not know. Things like body, soul, and spirit. How to place it. How to understand the inlets. Understand the complete man. Holy, the complete man. He didn't know that. That came after the opening of the word.
Amen.
He did not know the position, all the scriptures pertaining to the bride. He thought the bride was the church that was being, that was crying out, Lord, how long, how long? It's only at the seas you realize that was not the church, that was the Jews.
Yeah. Amen.
Is that right? Amen. There were many things that he did not really understand. At one time, Brother Branham, in 10 Foolish Version, he preached that the white horse rider was the Holy Ghost. That's 1967. That's in the 60s. Who just put Revelation series, I think. In the 60s. And I can go on and on, but my aim is not to show you that. I just show you that he was limited in what he was saying, so that you are limited in what you can speak. So the first six seals, when it revealed the mystery of iniquity and also revealed the mystery of redemption. And when those things are revealed, there's nothing veiled in it. Now Malachi 4 can go back down there and establish you back now to the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. So under Malachi 4, you have the restoration of Acts 2 and 4.
Yes, amen.
Malachi 4 will bring back Acts 2 and 4. He will also bring back that you are born by 1 Peter.
Yes.
1:23. Be born again of the incorruptible seed by the word of the Lord.
Amen.
He is going to show you the difference between Ephesians 1 and 13.
Yes.
That you have received the earnest,
yes,
back as the early church.
Yes.
But there is more to come.
Amen.
There is another dynamics, not just the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but there is a dynamics to come.
Hallelujah.
To bring you to, yes, the place of adoption, yes, and therefore quicken you into the second seal.
Amen.
See, he's showing you that there is another dynamics to come. He said the dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You see, so there is a dynamics under Malachi 4, and there's a dynamics under seventh seal,
yes,
Son of Man.
Amen.
There's a quickening under Malachi 4. But there is a greater quickening under, amen, the Son of Man.
Amen.
In other words, let me put it to you this way. Amen. You are quickened to life, but you are quickened to immortality under the Son of Man.
Amen.
Malachi 4 brings back life, and the seventh seal brings immortality.
Amen.
Which is your body change, see?
That's right.
Okay. Under these three, and I'm going to probably work some more on these, on this area here. Under these three lights, from starlight to the perfect light, the messenger saw many different things. He was anointed to see certain things, and because of his anointing, he said different things.
Amen.
Let me give you an example. When the seventh angel saw the cloud picture over there, he looked, he said, ah, seven angels, seven messenger. Well, he's a messenger, he's seen messenger. Seven angels, seven messengers. But when you look at Malachi 4, he said, oh man, that's the head. That's the bridegroom.
Mm.
But when the Son of Man looks, he said, oh man, that's the judge.
Mm. Yes. Amen.
Same picture.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. But as a seven angel, he sees seven angels. As Malachi 4, amen, as a marriage officer, he sees the husband.
Yes.
He sees the head.
Yes.
As the Son of Man, he sees the judge.
Amen.
Amen.
The same picture, the same man. Different anointings. I want you to notice, if I might just put some scriptures down here for you, that the same angel that showed Revelation 10:7 or Revelation 3:14, the same man, different anointings, The same one that showed them the early church in Revelation 17 and 1. He said, come, I will show you the judgment of the great whore.
Amen.
It is that same angel that comes back to Malachi 4. But a different angel. And he takes him to Revelation 21 and 9. So look at Revelation 21 and 9. Let's go to it. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven bowls full of the last seven plagues. Remember in Revelation 17 and 1, it was an angel that held the wrath of God, the vials also, right? Right. And talked to me saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.
Amen.
Amen.
In other words, Malachi 4 is now the same angel, the same one that was with him all his life, is the same one that is with him, showing him now not just the mystery of iniquity, not just the false church, not just these things, but now he's showing him the bride.
Amen.
It means now is the time for Sarah.
Amen.
Amen. Now is the time for her part.
Yes.
Amen. For her to come into preview.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So now Revelation 21 and 9, Brother Brown is taking that text to preach choosing of a bride.
Amen.
Under what anointing? Under Malachi 4.
Amen.
Under Malachi 4 now, he can show you, you.
Yes. Amen.
He can place you.
Yes.
And he can tell you what God is looking for.
Amen.
And turn around and tell you, God is looking for character.
Amen.
And he already told you, character is in the seed. Everything you need is in the seed.
Amen.
You don't have to put it there.
No.
God put it there.
Amen.
That's so that God could choose it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
sir.
Amen. God put it there.
Yes.
You don't have to develop it. Amen. He knows how to develop it. He knows how to bring it out. He knows the trial. He knows the tempting.
Yeah.
He knows the testings to bring it out. So Revelation 21 and 9. I want you to notice one more thing. That he ties Genesis 21 and 9 Revelation 25 to Genesis 24.
Yes.
Eliezer are going to find a bride for Titus, a message choosing of a bride.
Yes.
So watch what he does now. He brings the true baptism, Acts 2 and 4 back.
Mm.
He brings it back by the word, the incorruptibility by the word of God. He showed you that it is the earnest. Okay? Malachi 4 must bring you all of this back here. Now if you want to see something, everything that is here was here. The opening of the seals was to confirm what was preached that was true and to correct that which was not.
Amen.
There were many, many things that when people say they don't take anything before signature, they're losing out a lot. Many of the things that were taught here,
yes,
to call the church to repent, is confirmed here,
yes,
but in a complete measure.
Yeah. Amen.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yes.
Amen.
You can confirm that this was nothing but the truth.
Amen.
But there were things that were not. And this also corrected the error.
Amen.
So Malachi 4 corrects Revelation 3:14.
Amen.
Because you can't correct Revelation 10:1 in that sense, because Revelation 10:1 deals with the revealing of the seals.
Yes, amen.
In that respect, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
If there is anything, it might be a minor something, but really, Malachi 4 corrects Revelation 3:14.
Amen.
Goes all the way back to his ministry in 1946 and brings it all the way back up.
Amen.
I believe that means progressing.
Amen.
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 We cannot correct a prophet, brother, sister.
Amen.
It's presumptuous for us to say we are going to correct a prophet.
Amen.
We don't correct. Malachi 4 corrected 3:14.
Amen.
The Son of Man corrects Malachi 4.
Amen.
So you will find in the message where the message will correct him.
Yes.
If you look very carefully, you will see the message will turn around and will point out to the error.
Yes.
Because once you start correcting him, where are you going to stop?
Yeah.
Where are you going to stop? You cannot. Amen. He's going to bring about and show you that Revelation 21 and 9 and Genesis 24 is looking for character. 2 Peter 1:4-9. That's the character. Add to your faith and so forth. Is that right?
Amen.
Now this character he's talking about is the character that he already preached in 96. The statue of a perfect man.
Yes. Amen.
See, everything is going back. Yes. Amen. He's taking what he spoke here, taking it back what he spoke here, and when you take it back, you go all the way back to Paul's writing, Peter's writing, even to the apostolic writing, you see, well, it's the same.
Yes. Amen.
Nothing different. The majority of doctrine that is produced after the seals was introduced already before the seals.
Amen.
Nothing new. Nothing different. Malachi 4 brings the material for Revelation 19 and 7. And the bride has made herself ready. He brings the material so that she might be dressed in the word.
Amen.
Okay. I am limited on time, so I'm just going to run past and hit the sun. Just like Malachi 4 was a teaching ministry, I want to show you that Malachi 4 is also a revealing ministry.
Amen.
Because under one purpose of Malachi 4, he must restore back the moon, which is the woman. But he must also, because he's the same man and there's no other prophet in the land, that the same man, Malachi 4, now is going to be used not to teach so much, but to reveal.
Amen.
The Son of Man.
Amen.
So Malachi 4 has two purposes. One purpose, amen, he must restore the faith of the bride. And the next purpose, he must also reveal the Son of Man.
Amen.
Amen. In his own body, Brother Branham is typing that he is bride. And the same body, he's also showing restored human flesh.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, he's typed in, he's in a compound situation. Amen. You can look at him and say, that's what a bride looks like. And you can look at him and say, that is nothing but God on me.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. From the same body. So Malachi 4, amen, brings the bride back to a position, and he also reveals the Son of Man.
Amen.
Amen. Now let's look at that very carefully. Son of Man. The Son of Man. Luke 17 and 15.
Amen.
Now the Son of Man is broken up into two different phases. The Son of Man is broken down in the Son of Man comes with mercy
and judgment.
And the Son of Man comes with judgment.
Amen.
Both of them are attributes of a judge.
Amen.
And both of them are attributes. The judge and the priest is the same person. And the king is the same person.
Amen.
In other words, he's bringing mercy and judgment. He brought mercy to Abraham. He brought judgment to Sodom.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, Son of Man, amen, mercy and judgment. Therefore, he must be a judge. The judge and the priest is the same person, except he moves his girdle from his paps to... From his paps to his waist. If it's his waist, he's a priest. If it's his paps, he's a judge.
Amen.
Same man. But we know that the priest and the king and the judge belongs to one office and one individual, and that's Melchizedek.
Amen.
It says unto the king, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. The only wise one is the only one can judge.
Amen.
Amen. The white man judges the wise one.
Yes.
Amen. So this Son of Man must be 1 Timothy 1:17. He must be Hebrews 7. He never had beginning of days, no end of life.
Yes, amen.
Amen. He is a king continuously forever.
Yes.
I want you to notice now, Son of Man is coming for the redeemed.
Amen.
Which is Abraham's seed.
Amen.
Whoever Abraham met, amen, the royal seed will meet.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever sign was given to Abraham's seed will be given. Amen. To Abraham's royal seed. Amen. The city Abraham looked for. We saw the foundation also. We saw the building also. was God.
Amen.
We saw it. Abram met a man, God in flesh.
Yes.
We met a man, God in flesh. Abram saw the Mosaic sign. We saw the Mosaic sign.
Yes.
Amen. Abram, body will change. So will our body change.
Amen.
Abraham, amen. But I want you to, let's look at the Son of Man now. So now the Son of Man, which represents the sunlight, is the mystery of the Redeemer. That is called the latter rain.
Amen.
It is called the harvest rain.
Amen.
Because it's coming for the redeemed, the collect, the gather. It's the latter rain. It's the harvest rain. It is the rapturing rain.
Yes. Amen.
It's called many different things. It is the dynamics.
Amen.
So by the way, there are many different kinds of dynamics. There's a dynamics of the Malachi 4 for the church, and there's a dynamics of the Son of Man.
Amen.
See, two different dynamics. Now, so there's many different things that this is called. He's called many different things. But the main thing is that this is what we call seventh seal.
Amen.
That's the mystery of the seventh seal. The mystery of the seventh seal is not coming to give you birth.
No, yes. No.
If you're not born again, seventh seal can do you nothing. Seventh seal is coming to claim that which is already his.
Amen.
Amen. He's coming to claim. Now, to appreciate that, just bear with me a moment. Seventh seal is only coming to them that are already sealed.
Amen.
Who already have token.
Amen.
It is coming to anoint you in such a way to ripen you.
Amen.
To mature you.
Amen.
To sweeten you.
Amen.
Amen. To bring you more. It's not that you're not in the image. You're already in the image potentially. Yes. He must bring it to a reality.
Amen.
See, he must bring that which you long to see.
Yes.
You must see it.
Amen.
In you and I, we will see it.
Amen.
We will admire each other.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So admire, we admire Christ because it's Christ in you.
Yes,
amen.
I want you to notice now that for the Son of Man to do his work, it means there must be a people who has already been restored back to the people.
Amen.
Amen.
Not just called out.
No, yes. No.
Restored back to
them. Amen.
Yes.
That's the ministry of Malachi 4.
Yes.
So the Son of Man is dependent on the work of Malachi 4.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay? And Malachi 4 is dependent on the work of Revelation 10:7.
Amen.
Yes.
Now watch how it works. He is coming for them that are born again.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Token. He's coming for token.
Yes.
Amen.
All right? If he sees the token, it's mercy.
Amen.
If he don't see the token, it's judgment.
Amen.
He's not coming to give you token.
No.
Amen.
Amen. Under the ministry of Malachi 4, that's when you receive it. You're born by the incorruptible word.
Amen.
By the word of God.
Amen.
Now let me just prove this. There are many who, if you preach it differently, please forgive me. They didn't need the seventh seal mystery to be born again in the book of Acts. On Acts 2 and 4, they didn't need the seventh seal mystery to be born again.
No.
They received a token.
Amen.
Yes.
Without the seventh seal.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
They preached and people was converted.
Amen.
And Paul didn't even have the answer for the seventh seal yet.
Yes.
Right.
So seven seals don't give you birth. If they were born without the seven seal, and we are restored back to what they were, then you are converted just under the doctrine of what Paul taught.
Amen.
Amen. Glory.
Is that true?
Yes.
You see, because there are many that preach the seven seal comes and give you birth, the seven seal token. You gotta know what you're saying. There are two tokens. You have the token, which is God. And there's a token, which is his life in you.
Amen.
And Jesus, the token, come to look for a token. When God sees part of his own life,
amen.
Then he pass over you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And he's coming to look for his own seed, his own gene.
Yes.
Part of his own self.
Amen.
Amen. And the only way God can impute part of his own self is to give you from his own loins.
Amen.
And if you take up what is in God's loins and hold it up, it looks like God.
Amen.
Amen.
It has his blood.
Amen.
It has his life. It has its qualities, and you can't destroy part of his own self.
No.
You can't destroy your own spirit.
No.
Amen. So it must be understood that seven seal is dependent on the work of Malachi 4.
Amen.
Amen. Some man can't do Malachi 4 work.
Yes.
Malachi 4 has its own work.
Amen.
Now watch very carefully. Malachi 4 is Elijah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Elijah was associated with two women.
Amen.
He was associated with Jezebel.
Yes, amen.
He was a pastor, by the way.
Yes.
But he was also associated with a woman that he was able to show forth the resurrection.
Yes, amen.
Is that true?
Amen.
So under Malachi 4, in showing the bride, he works contrast. He shows you the false church.
Amen.
He shows you Jezebel. He shows you her daughter. Yes. He shows you her qualities. Now watch very carefully. But in so doing, he's lifting the bride up and showing her that she is not like this. She's not like this.
Amen.
She's not like this. She's not like this.
Yes.
Amen. Now the same one was doing that here. We saw it back here, but not in the reality as we see it here.
Yes.
Amen.
That is why people say Malachi 4 was back here. No. His nature was back here. He was a prophet. He was makeup like Malachi 4 back here. But he was not in the office of Malachi.
Amen.
So there's a big difference.
Yes.
His makeup made him act like that. And his anointing made him look at the two women. But he really actually was not in the office of Malachi 4. The office of Malachi 4 could only come after the bride is called out to kill her.
Amen.
You've got to understand the nature of a man continues with him even he's going through another anointing.
Yes.
Amen.
So even after the seals, Brahman will talk like a seventh angel messenger.
Amen.
Not because he's in the office of seventh angel,
no.
But because he has been living on that so long.
Amen.
Yes.
That he continues to repeat himself.
Amen.
And as Elijah, before he even talked about Jezebel after the opening of a seal, he had already exposed her back then.
Amen.
But now he's in the office for it.
Yes.
So he's in the office for it. He said, prove it, Brother Tony. The rule this way. Even though he saw Jezebel back there, he couldn't judge her.
Amen.
But in Malachi 4, he can judge her.
Amen.
He can judge her.
Yes.
Amen. Because he's in the office.
Yes.
To do it. You must not confuse. This is called evening light. You must not confuse the evening light with the sunlight.
Amen.
You must not confuse the evening light with the sunlight. You say, Brother Branham quoted Malachi 4, the evening light, Luke 17, 13, John 14, 12. Yeah, that's true. But scriptures and the prophet must go together.
Amen.
Evening light has three different meanings. Evening light can mean the changing of a day. It is moving from church age to another day.
Yes, amen.
Do you know the Jewish Sabbath started in the evening time?
Yes.
Do you know our Sabbath starts in the evening time?
Amen.
The church is called and placed under the true baptism of the Holy Ghost by Malachi 4.
Amen.
So evening light is rest time, is baptism of Holy Ghost time,
amen.
Like the early church time.
Amen.
Isn't that true?
Amen.
So evening time could mean Malachi 4 time, which is the new birth.
Yes.
Which is the church restored. Back to the original faith. You can't have that without Malachi 4. Evening light also means a change in dispensation.
Amen.
Yes.
Change in dispensation. And when I say dispensation, I'm picking up the ministry. The anointing of Son of God to anointing of Son of Man.
Yes.
Amen. So that's why he will pick up Luke 17,
13. Amen.
You go back and study it carefully. You'll pick up every time you say evening light. In the early days, he goes back to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2 and 4. And after the season is open, he goes back to Luke 17, 13.
Yeah.
Okay? Now watch. And every time, most of the time, he goes to the discerning of the heart, Hebrew 4 and 12, he will say, it's the evening time.
Amen.
What is it even? It's the ministry of the Son of Man.
Yes.
It's a ministry to be able to discern the thoughts and be able to show the Messiah Son. Let me put some scriptures here quickly for you. Malachi 4 cannot be confused with Luke 17, 13.
Yes.
They are not the same yet. One is dependent on the other.
Right.
This is how I would like to show it. You see, Malachi 4 is a prophet.
Amen.
And it will take a prophet to introduce you to that sunlight.
Yes.
Amen.
Let's go to Psalms 13, 6 and 9. I'm not separating the evening light from the sunlight, but I'm saying they are not one like this. You have to come to the evening light to see the true light. Psalm 36. If you don't come, you can't see. Psalms 36 and 9. For where there is a fountain of light, in thy light shall we see light. In thy light. Is Malachi 4 light? It, only when you come to the prophet light can you see the word light.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You must recognize that he is a prophet. He is a light.
Amen.
And when you come to him, then you will see the word light.
Amen.
Amen. If they didn't come to John, they could not see the word light.
Amen.
It's alright, but you must distinguish. It takes light to see light.
Amen.
It must be a man. Who can turn on the light?
Amen. Thank you,
Lord.
Yes.
The scripture said the light of the body is the eye.
Yes.
If you have a light in the body, you must have an eye. And an eye represents a witness.
Amen.
Amen.
Can we go to the book of John? John 1, starting with the 6th verse. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light. Notice, the light we're talking about is the sunlight. It was the cornerstone back there. Now it's a headstone. That all men through him might believe. Watch carefully. Believe on the light, not believe on John.
Oh,
amen.
Amen. The ones who remained believing on John did not go on.
Yes. Amen.
In fact, they were still under the covenant of law. Believe it or not. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. But if you did not come to that light, you couldn't see the light.
Amen.
John chapter 5. You have to be very careful with evening light. In the evening light, which is Malachi light, you're going to see Luke 17, 13.
Yes.
In the evening light, you're going to see Hebrews 4, 12.
Mm.
In the evening light, you're going to see John 14, 12.
Mm.
But you've got to come here first to see that.
Amen.
You say, prove it to me. Where did you see John 14, 12 was operated? It's in Malachi 4.
Yes.
Amen.
Where did you see,
amen,
speak to this mountain first?
Yes.
Amen. Mark 11, 20. Where did you first see that? In Malachi 4.
Amen.
You see it? Yes. 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 You say, Brother Tony, let me ask you this. What about the 314? What about the messenger 314? Okay. Let's read the scripture. Let's go to 314 if you don't mind. It's in John chapter 5. John 5. Let's read the 32nd verse. And there is another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed me is true. He said unto John, and he bear witness unto the light. Carefully now. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that he might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and he was willing for a season to rejoice in his
glory.
Amen.
We must not confuse Malachi 4 with the sunlight. But you cannot have the sunlight without Malachi 4.
Amen.
So Malachi 4 is in a dual scripture. He is dealing with the bride and the faith to be restored. And he's dealing with something yet to come. 1 Peter 1:13. First Peter 1:13. It says in 1 Peter 1:13, "Whereof gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." That is 7C. There is a grace that is coming to us that is different from every other grace. We do not have the grace of the early church. We are under the grace of the perfect life, which is Zechariah 4 and 7.
Amen.
The head soul shall come back with shoutings of grace, grace. When? At the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now watch now. If it's going to be at the revelation of Jesus Christ, there must be a prophet in the land. It must be also the time of the evening light when Malachi 4 is on the earth.
Amen.
There's no revealing of Jesus Christ without a prophet.
Amen.
If you have to have Malachi 4. Mercy and judgment. I'm going to write them carefully because I know we're out of time. Under the Son of Man, you're going to have Hebrews 9:28. Brother Branham preached that right after the opening of the seals. He said, "They that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin." Who is appearing the second time without sin? Somebody is appearing.
Yes.
There's only one who can appear, brother.
Amen.
That's the one who can justify.
Amen.
That scripture could not be fulfilled until the perfect life has come. Who is this one? He's Melchizedek. He's 1 Timothy 1:17. Who is he? It's Colossians 3 and 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. That didn't happen. That happened. That is the sunlight. He's 2 Timothy 1 and 10. He brings life and immortality to light through the gospel. Two revelations in the end time. The revelation of eternal life and the revelation of the body change.
Amen.
Could not be fulfilled until this end time.
Yes.
He also brings the manifestations of the sons of God. He quickens it. Mark 11:23. Romans 8:22. Okay, you can put the rest down if you like. He also brings Proverbs 16:15. Can we turn to that? Proverbs 16:15 says, "In the light of the king's countenance is life." Remember, Colossians 3 and 4 says, he said, "When Christ our life shall appear." And Brother Bram said, Revelation 10:1 is Christ appearing.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
And so here now it's a king, because Brother Bram said Revelation 10:1 is the king calling for the queen. "In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain."
Amen.
And we know that Revelation 10:1 is clouded with a cloud.
Yes.
He said that his favor, which is his grace, is as a cloud,
yes,
as the latter rain.
Amen.
If you are enjoying, amen, the seventh seal, it will be in the form of doctrine. Rain means doctrine.
Amen.
Rain means teaching.
Amen.
You train, you teach, and then you allow them to exercise that thing.
Amen.
Revelation 3:20. Now I pray that this end of the I'm ending with this, but this part of the message is kind of controversial, doctrinal. I don't mean to be, just to help. Maybe help everybody to look. It does not mean that I'm right, but it means that I can show you some help. I'm not. So if you teach, if you're taught differently, please, as I say, you're obligated to follow your shepherd. I want you to notice something. This is a church age scripture, and it's saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock." I want you to listen carefully. He is not talking to the seventh angel there.
No.
That seventh "I stand at the door" is not the seventh angel.
No.
Because the seventh angel is the one that he is speaking to.
Amen.
And he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock."
No.
In every one of the church ages, or the last previous two, he's talking about coming and coming quickly.
Mm.
But in this one, he says, "I am here."
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I want to identify who is the I. Who is the I that was there? It meant that there was somebody that was present at the time of the seventh church age that we did not know.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to notice something. That when I talk about the Son of Man, I put it up here. Because that's just a normal way to look at it. But Son of Man did not start in 1963.
No.
The Son of Man has three poles.
Amen.
And the first pole started in 1946.
Amen.
The second pole happened in the 50s.
Yes.
And the third pole happened in the 50s and continued on to 1965.
Yes.
Three poles. First pole, divine healing.
Amen.
Second pole, discernment of the heart.
Amen.
Third pole has many phases.
Yes.
It is the speaking of the word.
Amen.
It is the opening of the word.
Yes.
Is that right?
It's Amen.
Preaching to the lost.
Amen.
Many, many different phases. It is adoption.
Right.
Amen. Is that right?
Amen.
There are five major manifestations of the third pole. But I just want to show you that if the Son of Man has three poles, it means the Son of Man ministry started all the way back at the time of Revelation.
Amen.
Amen.
In other words, when Revelation 3:14 was rebuking the church and preaching even things that might not be perfectly doctrinally correct, the Son of Man was standing present.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Watch now. And at the end of the service, Brother Branham, the angel to the church will stand because he's a prophet. He's makeup like a prophet.
Yes.
But he's not in the office more.
No.
Then he now stands there and somebody comes and anoints him.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah.
And since he is not in the office of a prophet, somebody is in the office of a prophet.
Amen.
And that will be the Son of Man.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And he comes at the end of the age.
Yes.
And he does a specific thing. He comes and he holds your hand.
That's right.
I want you to notice it's different from every other ministry.
Yes.
Amen.
Because this man, by the holding of your hands, can feel your infirmities.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
In other words, God anointed his body in such a way that whatever germ you have in your body, he will pick it up.
Yes. Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
I want you to notice that is beyond the body gifts. That's a head gift.
Amen.
In other words, this one that is with him can discern every life form.
Amen.
Why? He must be the creator.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Not only is the creator, never did he ever make a mistake. He is perfect.
Amen.
This is not just anybody, brother. This is Melchizedek.
Hallelujah.
He is a great judge.
Yes.
And he's showing you and teaching us not that he's a healer only.
Yes.
But that he is the author of life.
Yes.
Amen.
And when he places his hand on an individual, he can pick up anything hiding.
Yes.
Amen.
That doctors can't pick up, he'll pick up.
Amen.
Amen.
He's showing you that every life has a vibration.
Yes.
That life has a vibration. If it comes from the tree of life, it has a vibration.
Glory.
But if it comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it has a vibration also.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's why he said when you walk into his presence, he said you're a Christian. He picked up your vibration.
Yes.
From the tree of life.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. But if you walk in, amen, with anything from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he picks it up also.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. What is vibration? It's a frequency. We do it in our voice.
Yes.
Our voice are frequencies.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, there's something that picks up the frequency here.
Yes.
But there is a voice.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That speaks to here.
Yes.
Amen. My sheep will hear my voice.
Amen.
They will not follow.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Why? Because it's promised when he appeared, he will bring life and immortality to us.
Amen.
Through the gospel.
Amen.
Who was that all the way back here? That was the Son of Man at the end of the service, revealing to you another ministry.
Amen.
Confirming not what the man preached, but confirming that he was a prophet.
Amen.
God was not confirming Brother Branham's doctrine there, no way.
Right.
God was not proving his word there. Because after the seas was opened, Lord Ram preached proving his word.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
God was proving his man.
Amen.
Vindicating the man. so that you can believe the man, then you can believe the message the man.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So the Son of Man was going on while the seventh angel was rebuking. At the end of the age.
Yes.
He was present. In other words, pillar of fire was here.
Amen.
Amen.
Way back down here. That's why there are many appearances.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me go through them quickly. 1909, that's a family appearance.
Yes.
Over the cradle of the father.
Amen.
1933, that's yes. A public appearance.
Amen.
Over the Ohio River.
That's right.
1946, a personal appearance to explain his life and ministry.
Amen.
1950, first scientific appearing.
Amen.
Taken and proven by science.
That's right. Amen.
1963, a world and universal appearing.
Amen.
1965, who's this Melchizedek? That's God in flesh.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Proved by his own word.
Amen.
Manifest in that body.
Thank you, Lord.
And proved to be the super son.
Thank you, Lord.
One, the pillar of fire appeared in 1909 for the first time.
Amen.
That was God appearing all the way back then.
Yes.
And while the Son of Man is there, you have the ministry of 3:14, you have the ministry of Revelation 10:1, you have the ministry of Malachi 4, and you have the ministry of the Son of Man.
Amen.
Amen. The perfect light was there all the time.
Amen.
And we go to Malachi 4:2. There are many things in a message like this that are left out. And it's probably going to create more questions as we go along. But I pray that you catch the concept.
Thank you, Lord.
And to learn to appreciate that these ministries should not be lumped together.
Amen.
Yes. They must be understood and appreciated for what they are and what they promise to accomplish.
Amen.
We cannot have the Son of Man light, you see, revealed in his own word, you see, and revealed in flesh. Now you can have it in signs all the way back here. But to prove it in his own word, we must bring the bride back to her
Amen.
Position.
Amen.
Amen.
To bring it in flesh, you've got to bring her back to her position.
Yes,
yes sir.
Watch the scripture, Malachi 4 and 2. But unto you that fear him shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Now the Son of Righteousness represents the ministry of the pillar of fire. And the message total deliverance, Brother Branham is tying that scripture to the resurrection. The healing of the body of the firstborn is only the earnest of the resurrection.
Yes.
If he can heal your body in such a way, surely he can quicken your mortal body.
Amen.
So in rising, this sun was rising, but as it rises, it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger until it hit the climax of the opening of the world, the seventh seal to be revealed. But it was there all the time. The appearing of the Lord is different from the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to close it off with this. This is the mercy scriptures. These are the judgment scriptures. Romans 1:18. See, the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10. The revelation of Jesus Christ has been revealed with his mighty angel to take vengeance on them that believe not. You notice that scripture is not talking about the coming of the Lord. He said, and the revelation being revealed. Anytime you have revealing, you have to have a prophet.
Amen.
Anytime you talk about revealing, talk about a prophet.
Yes.
You say your pastor revealed something to you, no. Holy Spirit reveals to you.
Amen.
Is that right? But when it comes to a prophet, he's revealing by interpreting the word.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
See? Okay, now, Revelation 10:1 is dual. He can turn the picture, you'll see the judge.
Amen.
So it becomes judge after a moment. It was mercy, then it becomes judgment.
Yes. Amen.
Is that right? Okay, let us look at it again. Revelation 15:1. It said, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plague.
Yes.
Now those seven angels made up the headstone of grace one time.
Amen.
Now it becomes another sign.
Yes.
A sign of judgment.
Amen.
Revelation 15:1. You see, the same scriptures that pertain to grace is just changed and become judgment.
Yes. Amen.
Revelation 10:1, mercy becomes judgment. You see, the same word that saved them, the same word now is revealing the wrath of God.
Amen.
So when Malachi 4 looks, he sees the head. When Revelation 10:7 looks, he sees the angels. When the Son of Man looks, he sees mercy and judgment. He sees the judge. He sees Melchizedek. I pray tonight that something might be said to encourage you,
Amen.
To cause you to appreciate what God has done for us.
Amen.
Like I say, sometimes these services help to provoke more questions, but questions are healthy.
Amen.
Questions are not unhealthy. Questions are healthy. If you have a child and he's always asking questions, that's a good sign.
Amen.
It's when he's not asking anything you have to be worried.
Amen.
I believe that God has called us into His perfect life.
Amen.
Into His marvelous life. Thank I believe you. That we are living in the transition of the former and latter reign.
Amen.
You would pick up a book and you would read it. And you would read it and it's pointing you back to the early church, things that you need.
Yes.
Things that you see. And then you read that same book a year later.
Yes.
And you see things concerning Son of Man and adoption and things that never caught your eyes.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Why? The same book has two anointing. It has former rain anointing, it has latter rain anointing.
Amen.
And they both fall in the end time.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Amen.